And welcome back to the Eye on College Football podcast here on CBSSports.com. I am Chip Patterson, and we are coming to you today on Thursday with an extra special edition of the podcast. Coach Ron Zook from CBS Sports Network, former head coach at both Illinois and Florida, joining me on the line. Coach, thanks so much for taking some time out of your day so that we can talk a little college football here heading into week nine.
Well, thanks for the opportunity, Chip. Obviously, this is the time of the year, and particularly with the BCS pairings coming out last week, the first one, there's an awful lot of talk about college football, and I think that's what makes it such a great sport. Everybody can be involved in it, and everybody can have an opinion.
Yes, and there are plenty of opinions flying around, especially here in late October. Well, we're coming off of 2 weeks where 16 of the top 25 teams lost. Included in that, unfortunately for the Bulldogs, is Georgia twice. But while it draws a lot of excitement, it helps with the fan interest and involvement, I look at this time of year and I almost like to say I told you so, because I want to get your opinion on this. I think this is as much luck as it is the fact that we're getting into conference play. Injuries have started to take effect. Fatigue sets in. And then, heck, even midterms are going on some places. I just feel like, you know, we're all excited about undefeated teams at 4-0, but it's this time sort of almost who survives it more than it necessarily who's the best team heading into it.
Well, it really is, Chip. You know, last year was my first year being involved with CBS, and you know, when they asked me for my preseason top 25, I kind of looked at them like, are you kidding me? How can you predict the top 25, how it's going to end out? Because football's like that. And I don't want to call it luck, but it is a little bit of luck. I mean, you know, getting injuries and getting officials' calls. There's so many things that happen in the course of a season, in the course of a game that a coach really doesn't have any control over. And it just makes it, almost unpredictable.
Yeah, well, and as a coach, I'm sure that's what's so frustrating sometimes when everything seems to go according to a game plan, but it's those tiny little breaks that are going to end up deciding, you know, who's competing for these conference titles down the stretch.
Well, I don't think there's any question. And you look at a couple of the games last week. I mean, you know, you look at the Clemson-Florida State game, and obviously that was a complete dominance by Florida State. But, you know, I think Clemson's a little bit better than that. Now, whether they're – I'm not sure that they would beat them 5 times out of 10, but they're a better football team. But that particular night, that's not the way it worked out. And, you know, same thing with Louisville and Central Florida, UCF. I mean, you wouldn't have thought – I actually turned the game off halfway through the third quarter. They were down 3 touchdowns. I couldn't believe it when I saw the score.
Yeah, 28-7, not the way that you would want to close the game if you're Louisville's defense, that's for sure.
And particularly a defense that was playing lights out all year, and one of the top defenses in the country. But that goes to show you that there's so much involved with the mental aspect, the mental psych. You got to play 60 minutes, and coaches preach it all the time. You got to play every play like it's your last play, and you got to play for 60 minutes. And sometimes that's hard to do.
There is a big mental test ahead, not only this week, but really for the rest of the season for the Missouri Tigers, as a combination of a very, very talented team that has matured and gotten better goes with a lot of injuries in the SEC East, Florida, and then obviously Georgia dealing with a lot of injury issues, and South Carolina, all 3-2, already all have 2 conference losses. Florida and Georgia both have lost to Missouri. So the Tigers are coming in here in Columbia, and the schedule's broken for them beautifully as they've gotten to host some of these toughest games. Where do you take Mizzou right now, and how do you think they'll be able to do not only this weekend but down the road, Ole Miss and Texas A&M in the future to close the season? It's a very interesting team, particularly when you consider that only Alabama, Auburn, and Missouri are the SEC's only teams with 1 loss or 0 losses at this point in the season.
Well, you know, Missouri is obviously right where they'd like to be, but they've probably got the toughest road to hoe. I said this on our show Tuesday night, with South Carolina coming to town, and you know, some of our guys that I'm on the show with, I think all of them except me picked Missouri, and you know, probably a lot of people would. But I'll say this about South Carolina: Coach Spurrier can get a team ready to play a game or two, and obviously he knows the importance of this game. This is a, you know, this is a critical game for South Carolina. So Missouri has got to play to their very, very best, because I really believe they'll get South Carolina's best shot. But the thing that Missouri has is not only do they have South Carolina, they've got Tennessee, who's a much improved football team, that's playing with an awful lot of confidence. They go to Ole Miss, which obviously everyone knows, you don't, you know, you go to Oxford, Mississippi, it's a very, very tough place to play. And then of course they got A&M left. So they're you know, they're in the driver's seat, and they've got to get beat a couple times, but they got a tough road to hoe.
Notre Dame hitting the road after a 14-10 win against Southern California. And coach, just is it's weird to think about how a Notre Dame Southern California game almost went under the radar last week. I don't know what kind of football is going on in 2013, but didn't that seem strange to you?
Well, it really does, and obviously with all the, particularly with all the things that have happened at Southern Cal here of late, and of course Notre Dame, they've struggled. You know, they're not playing, you know, on either side of the ball the way that I think a lot of people thought they would this year. Coming into this year, I think the fact of losing Everett Golston had a lot to do with, you know, with particularly the offense and the leadership and so forth. Although Tommy Reese has done a nice job, you know, he's been banged up a little bit, supposed to play this week. You know, Air Force has struggled, but I think it was last week in the San Diego State game, Air Force didn't know for sure they were playing the game until 27 hours before the game, and that's got to be hard on the players and the coaches. You know, you prepare for a game, but man, you just don't know for sure if you're going to play it. And I know I was in the NFL when 9/11 hit, and you didn't know when you were going to play, and that's hard ball right there.
The Falcons 1-6 at this point in the season, really, really banged up at the quarterback position. They miss, I believe, Stephon Jefferson, who was their leading rusher last year. When you're looking at Air Force, is this just one of those years where you think that they're going to be down and you expect Coach Calhoun will sort of have them back next year after overcoming all those injuries? Or do you think that, you know, this as a team that, in making the move to a conference, you were thinking that they'd be able to compete for a conference title every couple of years. What's your state on Air Force football right now?
Well, I mean, obviously, I don't think you can just look at this year and think that it's right. Any different than it's been. I don't think there's any question they're going to be back. And, you know, the injuries are things that you can't control. And I know a lot of times it affects coaches' jobs and so forth. But those are just things that you can't control, particularly when you have a number of guys. You don't have walk-ons and so forth at Air Force Academy. You got guys, what you have is what you have. And, you know, you have to hope and pray that, you know, that they're able to, you know, to stay healthy and go through it. And they have struggled. And I think the fact of, you know, I really believe the fact of not knowing whether you're going to play or not has an effect on their psyche. And they've struggled on defense, but they've played pretty good football all through the season.
The Fighting Irish and Air Force, that game is 5:00 on CBS Sports Network. Your colleague, Aaron Taylor, will be on the call. You work with him on Inside College Football. Of course, everybody can see on CBS Sports Network. He mentioned something earlier today on the Tim Brando Show, talking about how Stephon Tuitt really stepped his game up last week, finally might be healthy. And Notre Dame's defense in general did a great job of helping seal that win, pitching a shutout after losing Tommy Reese to that neck injury, because frankly, the offense with Andrew Hendricks at quarterback was just not the same. Do you think this defense, it's a pretty young team, as the season goes on, do you think that they will be able to finish strong?
Well, Notre Dame only had, I think, 44 yards of total offense in the second half, so you're exactly right. The defense did step up, and this is probably the first game where you really been able to count on the defense this year. And I think going into the season, particularly when they lost Everett Golston, you felt like, okay, defensively they're going to be pretty good, but they've not had the same statistical play that they had last year. And, you know, whether it's, you know, losing the linebacker or what, but they've not been able to play the way. And this past week is the first time that they've really played, and of course, in a big game. You know, this is the first time that they've beaten Southern Cal at home, you know, in like four games or five games. So it was an important game for Notre Dame. It was important that the defense step up, like you say, particularly in the fact that Tommy Reese had gotten hurt.
So the Irish go Air Force, Navy, a lot, you know, dealing with a lot of a ground attack. Then you finish at Pitt, BYU at home, and then at Stanford. Those last three games to me seem really, really tough for this Fighting Irish team. But, not, I mean, winnable, particularly Pitt and BYU. How do you see this team finishing the season?
Well, I think you're exactly right. I think the BYU and the Stanford games are going to be key games, but the thing that Notre Dame can't do, Notre Dame is going to get everybody's best shot. It doesn't make any difference. The academies are going to play them extremely hard and extremely well. They have to be on their best behavior and play as well as they can play. And I think the other thing, too, is they got to stay healthy. You know, Notre Dame is, you know, they're banged up a little bit on offense. You know, Tommy Rees says he's going to play this week. Hopefully he will. That'll be a key for their offense. But, you know, they've got to stay healthy as they go through this year. And I think those last two games, BYU and Stanford, particularly physical games, it's going to be important that they take everybody in the game with them.
We are sort of in a changing era of college football as a sport as we move away from the bowl championship series and into the college football playoff. Currently, of course, you know, as we said, the first BCS standings were out. You get 7 BCS standings the way the current system is set up. And moving to a selection committee, we weren't really sure how fans and players and coaches, how we were going to know how the teams are being ranked in the eyes of the committee. Bill Hancock, the executive director, announces today that there's actually going to be 4 different rankings released, so that at least adds a little bit of transparency. But still, we're taking the whole decision of who plays in this 4-team playoff, and it's very tough to figure out what is going to matter. So I just wanted to ask, from your experience, Coach Zuck, what do you think really matters, and what would you like to see the selection committee value? You know, what factors would you like to see them value when trying to decide who are the 4 best teams in college football?
Well, you know, you're exactly right. There are so many things that people don't know, you know, what they're going to value, what they're going to look at. I think the one thing is, in my opinion, and I know I read a little bit of the release that Bill Hancock had said, is that he didn't feel like it would be that much of a difference having come out 4 times in the last half of the year. But I think the population is gonna crave more, and I think that's every Sunday night now. Everybody's, you know, they're glued to those BCS standings because they know how important they are, and I think the fact that they're going to get basically half of what they're getting this year, I think it's going to cause some struggle. But to me, the biggest thing is strength of schedule. I don't think there's a whole lot teams can do about their conference schedules, but their non-conference schedules, those games are going to be critical. And I think it's really, really important that you look at the strength of the schedule as one of the criteria, main criteria for you know, where they put these teams.
What is, you know, we've talked about, obviously, Missouri, South Carolina. We talked about Notre Dame, Air Force. Before we let you go, are there any other particular games or players that are standing out as you look ahead to the weekend that you are really keeping your eye on?
Well, the biggest game for me, obviously, looking at living here in Florida and listening to all the noise in the Southeastern Conference, but the Missouri South Carolina game is big, and I think it has a lot to do, and of course sets up the, you know, how big the Florida Georgia game is going to be, and that's a great, great big game, particularly down here in the state of Florida. So that's the biggest game, but I think we never talked about the Pac-12, and I think going out to Oregon's going to, that's a big game as well out there, and Oregon or the Pac-12 probably is, you know, right now maybe the second best conference in the country, and you know, a lot because of the East Coast doesn't see a lot of the night games or the late games. I think they missed the fact of just how good the Pac-12 really is.
You just mentioned that teams cannot. That, you know, it's not in their hands what goes on with the conference schedule. What does the Pac-12 not like about Washington and UCLA? Because I cannot imagine a worse 1-2 combination than having to get beat up by Stanford and then run over by Oregon. And Washington did it, and now UCLA's going to have to do it. I mean, UCLA's coming into this as, I think, a 3-touchdown underdog, and they're banged up on the offensive line. Jordan James, I know, is hurt. But this is, you know, Washington and UCLA are 2 of the upstart teams in the Pac-12. We looked at them early in the season, and that's one of the reasons why I was complimenting the league's depth extensively. You know, as a coach, what can you say to that? If you're Steve Sarkisian, you just have the toughest schedule, and they might end up back at 7-5 because of that schedule.
Well, and it's unfortunate because that's a really, really good football team. Yeah. Offensively, a couple of weeks ago, they were, I think, they were fifth in the country in offense and tenth in the country in defense, and playing extremely well. But like you say, they line up against Stanford. You line up against Oregon, two of the better teams in the country, and that's hard ball. But I guess that's kind of the rub of the green. That's, you know, kind of the way it is. But I don't think there's any question. And what you're seeing in the Pac-12 is a little bit of what you're seeing in the Southeastern Conference. They beat each other up, and so the conference comes out looking like. You know, you got really, really good football teams that have two or three losses and of course injuries and so forth play into that. But that is a heck of a conference, and I there's no question that the UCLA Oregon game is going to be a great game. And who knows what can happen? Jimmy Morris, you know, he's been around football for an awful long time. He's done a great job. Lou Spanos is a great defensive coordinator at UCLA, and can they slow Oregon down and make some things happen?
You can follow him on Twitter at Ron Zook. You can see him on CBS Sports Network. Coach, thanks again for spending some time with us here at the Ion College Football Podcast.
All right, appreciate it, Chip. Thank you.
My thanks once again to Coach Zook for joining me and CBS Sports Network for loaning him over to the podcast side of things. If this is the first podcast that you've listened to this week or ever, please, please check out our iTunes page. This has been our second straight 4-podcast week. We are churning these things out, and we are happy to do them. If you've got any suggestions, feel free to get at me on Twitter, @Chip_Patterson, or @IonCFB is the Twitter account run by Tom Fornelli, Jerry Hennon, and myself. We will get the message. We want to hear from you. We've gotten a lot of good feedback this year, and so we like to thank you for listening. And we just hope you enjoy week 9. For Coach Ron Zook, I'm Chip Patterson. Thanks so much for listening.